They compete hard on the field and play to win.
But in real life, they have a greater purpose.
It's more than a game.
Welcome to Faith on the Field with Rob Motti, Doug Horton, and Pastor Phil Mosher on 610 Sports ESPN Radio.
And welcome to Faith on the Field show presented by Eastern University on 610 Sports ESPN Radio. I am Rob Motti with Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner.
Hey, how we doing, Rob?
Happy Tuesday, fellas. We are a day late. Woo! We're a day late because of Monday Night Football. I had to cover the game, Doug and Kyle. Well, Doug, you were there.
I was at the game.
You were not there for the first time in a while, right?
I was watching
you
were it on home my watching couch, which was with my wife, which was fantastic. Eating wings, fantastic.
Usually the best place to be for a football game, I always say. But I'm spoiled. I enjoy being on the couch rather than being at the game, because being at the game for me is work. But
yeah, but it was a beautiful night last night.
You're looking at your warm. It was really hot.
In
fact, today is hot. You got your NFL, not NFC. Not NFC East. You got your NFL leading Philadelphia Eagles at 6-1. They are the best team in the NFL, and they are the talk of not just this town, but they are the talk of the nation right
now. All the towns.
Absolutely.
You guys got to be fired up about that.
Oh, it was so amazing all the way around last night. Just not another play on the field, but they continued to talk. The announcers continued to talk about the player's character and Carson's faith. And, you know, they showed that amazing video of, he with Lucas beforehand. And that's just going viral all over the place. But it shows the heart of who he really is. It's just what those guys are all about, living it out in a real way.
They continue to talk about it all day today on talk radio shows.
Which, absolutely.
It's nice.
You know,
it's
I was
nice
kind of checking it out because you get excited about that. You want to hear what people say. You hear the excitement of the fans and but people had to go back to the faith component and,
absolutely,
you know, whether they want to acknowledge it or not, whether they agree with it or not, at this point, I think they're respecting it.
Yeah, it was interesting last night. John Gruden was talked about Carson's Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Gruden said that?
Those words on ESPN radio.
Did he say that?
ESPN TV. It was amazing.
In between, he kept calling the Eagles. I heard he was calling them the Broad Street Bullies. Like he thought it was hockey or something.
The bullies of Broad Street.
Is that what he was saying? Yeah. That's all right, but wait, go back to that other part.
But it was just incredible that, you know, to hear him talk about that in such a positive way, about faith in a positive way. I was in a local restaurant near my house this afternoon eating lunch, and everyone in there was talking about not just the game, which everybody's excited about in our city, right? Everybody's excited about, you know, being where we are.
MVP candidate,
but everybody was talking about the faith of these guys and the videos and what they're doing and how they're making a difference. And that's what's so encouraging.
I think when you look at what people are saying, though, they're like, not only are they winning, which is exciting because it's the Philadelphia Eagles, and
that helps,
our home team around here in Philadelphia, but they're like, these are guys that my kids can watch, that my kids can respect. Women are getting behind it because they're great guys. You know, they're supporting it. It's not like thugs or, you know, people. It's attractive to everyone.
And, absolutely.
You had a great story from Carolina, right? When you were there, when they were talking about Cam Newton kind of.
Oh yeah, yeah. Superman
about,
yeah,
and,
of course.
You know, and compared to the whole team coming
together.
Absolutely,
the whole team coming together. Yeah, it was amazing. And I loved last night watching after Carson had thrown one of the touchdown passes, him running over with the ball to give to the family.
Yeah.
And again, it's not just a.
I think his name's Travis, and it was his first game for that kid too.
The whole family. Right?
And it's just one of those things where you just go, these guys aren't just doing it off the field. They actually, it's even on the field when they're there. That's the integrity and character they have.
You know what's too bad though is that they have to be winning for people to be noticing and saying that, and it's unfortunate in society in that. That's what the platform is there, and the fact that they're winning, okay, now people are taking notice. But if they were 1-6, I guarantee it would be the opposite way, and rather than these people talking about his faith in a positive way, they would be talking about it in a negative and saying, well, you know, maybe he should spend more time in a playbook and all that stuff. But we'll take the good right now.
Well, Kyle and I were just talking about this because I think last year when they would interview Carson and he would, you know, they'd say, oh, you know, that's a great game that you had, you know, or how can you handle the pressure? He goes, it's just football.
Yeah.
There's bigger things in football. And now they interview and they were like, we just want him to throw touchdowns. We want him to be important. Now they get up to him and they're like, hey, Carson, you know, you have more touchdowns than Tom Brady this year. You know, how do you feel? And he goes, it's just football. Now they're like, he's unflappable. He's doing such a great job. Look at how calm he is.
Poised. Now he's poised. He's got the heart, the determination. And like you said, he's unflappable. Nothing's going to bother him. The pocket's going to collapse on him, and he's going to be getting hit from behind, hit forward, falling down, and throwing a touchdown pass to Corey.
You know, there's one more comment on this, too. There was a morning show I listened to this morning.
You got to stop listening to this stuff, by the way.
It's the day after. I'm still a fan. Man. I'm sorry, I know you're trying to pull it out of me, but, you know, it's the day after, you know, so, you know, but some of the guys were talking and they were saying that, now you distracted me, man. I'm going to lose my thought here. you took it right away from me.
I'll come back to it. One of the things that's so cool about what you just said is, at some level really true, because last year people weren't sure. And this year they are, and no doubt the winning is a component of that. But I do think, what people can see is the authenticity that these guys are the same when they're losing and same when they're winning. And that's the thing that speaks to our generation and the generation of young viewers today, that everybody's a hero when you're winning. Everyone's a superstar when you're winning. But these guys were the same people when they were going through the struggles as they are now. And for me, that's what character looks like. Character looks like, the very definition of it is making sure that we are the same people in the good times and the same people in the bad.
Thanks, Kyle. You brought my comment back, so I remembered it. That's awesome.
That's what I do, bro.
You're the man. So what they were saying was, when you look at the story of Carson and the boy
the
that passed
boy.
Away, yeah,
the Dutch
Lucas,
destroyer.
Right? Yes. Yeah, they said that he got so emotional with that. They're like, that's the things that matter most to him. Mm-hmm. It's not the football games. It's not the touchdowns. It's like, but the things that really get him fired up, emotional, is more of helping people and having that platform where you can talk about Jesus. And that's what's really cool is like, hey, it's just football, but hey, if I could talk to this kid and I could use this platform to affect that kid's life, that's what's really meaningful to me.
Yeah, and I watched that whole thing about even Chris Long beforehand, making sure that bringing water to the people in Tanzania. Yeah. And Rob, that's what introducing kind of what we're going to talk a little bit about tonight. But, you know, we all can't do everything, but everybody can do something. And I really value that when I look at, you know, everybody will say, well, they have a bigger platform. Well, that's true. But the reality is all of us have to learn to steward the platform that we have. And no, I can't eradicate the homeless situation in Philadelphia.
Not by yourself.
I can't, correct? But I can do something. I can't feed everybody who's hungry in the world, but I can do something. And I think that's gotten at the core of, you know, Malcolm and a group of the guys went today to talk to the legislation
up in Harrisburg.
Yeah. They're actually putting feet to the belief that they have. Chris and his friends doing stuff in Tanzania globally. Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah.
And just being able to start to see these guys, you know, obviously Jay Madden and Carson going to Haiti this year. They're doing something. And that's the invitation, I think, that we can have for all of our listeners today. We can't do everything, but we can do something.
We're going to switch from the NFL to the NBA because this is our first show we've been doing this for 7 months, 28 episodes. This is our first show with an NBA player on as a guest, and it's going to be a number 2 pick in the draft from Duke, Boston Celtics. Jason Tatum, who a lot of Sixers fans are going right now looking at the Markelle Fultz situation saying, hey, we wish we would have drafted Jason Tatum. But I had an opportunity to chat with Jason last week, and we're going to talk about that. I also had a nice weekend. I went to Hillsong Church in New York City in Manhattan, and I was there on Sunday for 2 services. And then on Monday, I had the opportunity to sit down with Pastor Carl Lentz, who I think is one of the most powerful, impactful preachers that I've ever heard speak. But what I saw at Hillsong blew me away, because here I was in New York City, which is big, bad, supposedly godless, right?
Yes, right.
New York City, one of the meanest, toughest, roughest cities around. And they rent out this space at the Manhattan Center, the Hammerstein Ballroom, and that's where they have their service on Sunday, and they have 4 of them. And from the second I walk in, you go through the security checkpoint, right? But from the second I walked in, I saw smiling faces everywhere. I saw people who were genuinely happy, who wanted to help, whether it was offering me a seat, offering me a coffee, offering me a water, anything. They were just so welcoming. And that was, guys, that was before they even knew why I was there.
Absolutely.
And I was there for the AP to do a sit-down interview on Monday with Pastor Carl. But we had a video crew with me. We had photographers with me. And they didn't change their attitude because all of a sudden I had one person say, "Oh, you must be important." I was like, "No, man, you're important." And he was like, "You're right." And I was like, "You're right." I was like, yeah. "We're
those
all
are your kind of people."
Yeah,
right?
I was like, "We're all the same." Yeah, he's like, yep. "But you know what I mean, man." He's like, "You got a microphone," and I was like, "All right, I'll tell you what I'm doing here." But we're all important. You know how I always harp on everybody's equal in God's eyes, but it's such a big, genuine, warm welcome, sincere hearts, and it's a judgment-free zone. And the only other time that I've really experienced something like that was when I went to Connect Church, and I'm sure that filters down from the top, that filters down from the pastor, and that's how you want your people to be. So they have over 650 volunteers.
It's
volunteers.
Well, you have to wait in line.
Yes.
Around the block.
Yes.
For services to get in. And if you can't get in for that service, people still wait until the next service.
Yes. Yeah. Oh.
It's crazy. You know, what you just said, Rob, is interesting because Pastor Carl says it all the time. Everybody's a celebrity.
Yes.
Everybody should, because celebrity just means someone who's celebrated.
Oh, we had a big conversation.
Right? And
about that.
And I love that. And now, mm-hmm. you know, obviously there's every person has different needs and needs to be ministered to differently. You know, obviously he has some what our world would say are celebrities. Mm-hmm. And he has to deal with them in one way. But then we also they have people of every socioeconomic background at that church, every ethnicity, every generation, and I think that's what's so powerful. About that movement is that they celebrate people. Mm-hmm. And if we as men and women of God could learn how to celebrate people, not based on what they can do for us, but we actually can look at them and say, how can I help release the dream in them? How can I celebrate them? I think life would be different.
Yeah, and as you're saying, 99.9% of the members, the congregation who go there are not what the world considers famous people.
Yes.
So if it's the fame that draws the media there and gets the attention, that's fine. Bring the people out there, bring the media out there, and give them Jesus too. So our theme tonight is going to be this. Based on those 650 volunteers and some of them that I encountered at Hillsong and everything else that we do and that you guys do, and we're going to talk about Goliathon and Breeze here, and we're going to talk to her a little bit later on. But our theme's going to be do something, because whether you are rich or poor, whether you have a lot of money or whether you have nothing at all, it doesn't cost anything to give your time. And we're going to hear Jason Tatum later on in the next segment quote from the Bible verse where it says, "To whom much is given, much will be required." And it's often assumed, however, people hear that, "To whom much is given, much is required." And people will assume that it's wealthy people have Yes. been given much, and they're expected to give much in return, whether it's tithing, whether it's donating, whatever it is. But the truth is, you don't have to be a millionaire, a billionaire, or have any kind of portfolio. We've all been given much.
Absolutely.
And number one, we've been given the grace of God.
Yeah.
And I don't think you can ask for a better gift ever in life. Number two, we've been given the Word of God. And the answers to everything that we need to know to navigate through life are right there in this gift called the Bible. And number three, we've been given gifts of the Holy Spirit, and they're all available to us.
Absolutely.
If we know how to pursue them. So it's not really about the money, because we all already have, you know, it's got nothing to do with our bank account. We're responsible for what we've been given in the form of all those gifts, and how we use our talents and how we use the knowledge that we have, how we use the time. So we're expected to use all of this to glorify God and benefit others. There's a song by Matthew West, who I know is Doug's favorite artist, right?
Yeah, I love Matthew West.
And the song, which is where we borrowed this title for Do Something, is called Do Something. And I love this. The opening to this, because, and I'm going to read it because Ryan probably can't play it because I just gave him 2 seconds notice and I should have told him 2 hours ago. But he starts with, "I woke," nah, nothing. It's called Do Something by Matthew West. So he starts off with, "I woke up this morning, saw a world full of trouble now, thought, How'd we ever get so far down? How's it ever going to turn around? So I turned my eyes to heaven and I thought, God, why don't you do something? And how often do people say, God, do something? Yeah. All this stuff happening. God, why can't you do something? God, what are you doing? And he says, people are living in poverty, children sold into slavery. The thought disgusted me. So I shook my fist at heaven and I said, God, why don't you do something? And he said, I did. I created you. And that's so powerful. Yeah, you got it?
I woke up this morning, saw a world full of trouble. Now I thought, how do we ever get so far down? And how's it ever gonna turn around? So I turned my eyes to heaven. I thought, God, why don't you do something? Well, I just couldn't bear the thought of people living in poverty, children sold into slavery. The thought disgusted me, so I shook my fist at heaven. I said, God, why don't you do something? He said, I did. Yeah. I created you. If not us, then who?
And all those volunteers that I saw at Hillsong, right? All those volunteers you have at Connect, at Fellowship Bible, they're all doing something. And Doug, you and the Goliathon Mission and the countless of people who help you there, you're doing something. And Pastor Kyle and your team and every all the mission trips that you go on, you're doing something. And doing something doesn't mean having money and giving. Doing something means donating your time and using your gifts and your abilities to just go out there and make a difference in the world and change it in any small way that you can.
But it's not only just doing something that other people see. Sometimes it's providing a meal for somebody. Sometimes it's being that prayer warrior that everybody needs. It's serving a nursery when nobody else is doing it, or cleaning it when nobody's even in the church and people don't know how it gets cleaned, right? I mean, that's, you know, we have, you know, Lucy's 1 year old, you know, and it's a matter of, we really care about a clean nursery. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
And there's people that do that. That's a sacrifice. But how much does that mean to somebody with a baby that's going to get to know that everything's clean?
That's not
sanitized.
A high profile.
No, it's not.
When people talk about serving
lowest,
in
that's
church.
That's like one of the lowest jobs you can have at a church, right?
And that's what's important, because you're doing the little menial things.
Not working nursery. Yeah. Cleaning the nursery.
Absolutely.
So
yeah, that's a tough job. I think if we get down to it, guys, the reality is it's about love. You know, you said the greatest, you know, one of the things that we've received, to whom much is given, much is required. But the thing that we've received the most of is God's love. For God so loved the world, he sent Jesus. How do we know that we are loved? Because Christ died for us. He loved us first. We love because Christ loved us first. And Jesus' commandment, Matthew 22, is love the Lord your God with everything you've got, and then love other people. And so it's not just about serving in church. And I just want to make sure that we're really cool with that, because there's a lot of people out there, I think, who could say, well, I'm not really sure what church I'm plugged into yet. Or I'm not even sure about church yet. But we all can do something, and that's loving your neighbor. It's being there for someone, who's going through pain. It's, actually bringing goodness into and kindness and mercy into your workplace. It's just finding a way to use what's in your hand, what you're good at, with what's in your heart, what are you passionate about, and take that into the world that God created for you around you. So, I mean, I appreciate that. You know, I'm obviously a pastor, so I love the fact when people serve in the house, but it's not even serving in the house that it's serving with love. It's really learning how to love people.
You know, you don't have to be in a church to serve, because I think of my kids. You know, Gracie is in eighth grade. She's in Kingsway School District, and they have this Renaissance program. And you get good grades, you attend, you don't miss any classes, but you have to do 10 hours of service.
Wow.
So it's some sort of thing that you would do, whether you stay after school and tutor community project, you know, helping out with Goliathon's a great thing. They can get hours for that. But, you know, you can
How
do
many
that.
Hours they get for that?
Well,
they get
she
all
was
10
there.
Probably,
I mean, Gracie
right?
was there at 5 a.m.
Yeah,
we were there 5 a.m.
Yeah.
So she's good.
Day,
yeah, I was like,
yeah.
carry these over
she's
for a couple
like 3 years now.
Yeah,
she's
no, we're
good.
Good. Yeah. We're good. But, you know, you can, you know, and whether a job, you know, at Eastern, we need to serve. There's service that you're evaluated on. People do community projects. But the thing that makes it the difference, you could serve, put some hours in, be there, you know, talk to Bree later about some service projects she's done and different things too. But if you don't serve with love and you don't serve with compassion, it's just a task. It's just doing something, but it may not necessarily be used.
Well, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, obviously, you know, this big love chapter that we usually hear at weddings or marriage conferences. but really, he talks about this whole
love
concept.
Is patient. Love
yeah,
is
love
kind.
Is kind, like, which none of us, you know, we're all still working on. But I love the very beginning of that because he said, if I do all these miracles, if I do all this work, if I do all these things, but I really don't love God and I don't really love people, if I'm doing it for myself, if I'm doing it for the pat on the back, if I'm doing it to be recognized, then I'm really missing the point of it all. And I think that's where, if we can learn to change the way that we look at people and begin to see them for the value of the God image in them, not the value of their behavior, not the value of the lifestyle they choose, not the value of their ethnicity or their socioeconomic background or their education level, but begin to see people and say, man, God's fingerprint is on that person. And because he loves me and I love him, I can see the him in them. And if I can see the him in them, then I can start to love differently. And love becomes tangible because it's not a feeling. Love is a feeling. It's definitely an emotion, no doubt. But that's not the core of who love is. Love is an essential essence of who God is. And it moves us to make a difference in our world. Jesus was moved with compassion all the time.
But don't you think you can tell when people are doing it with the right,
absolutely.
The right heart?
Yeah,
the
no
right
doubt.
Mind? You know,
yeah,
when Carson's going and he's talking to the children and
yeah, it's
and
real
see
and
these
authentic.
Families, like that's what he wants to do. He's not doing it for publicity.
Right.
He doesn't need any more
you
publicity.
You can read
at this
phony
point, right?
Easy.
That's a good point.
You can read phony easy. Because, you know, you see the guys who light up when the camera's around them.
Yes.
You know, and they want to do whatever it is when the cameras and the microphones are there. But when nobody's watching, they could care less. And that's a big difference because that's what you're going back to what you're saying. You're doing something for the attention.
Yes.
You're not doing it because you have the genuine heart. You're doing it because, what's this going to do for me? Or how am I going to look here?
Absolutely. There's a beautiful verse, one of my favorites in the Old Testament, the book of Amos, chapter 5. And verse 24 says, let justice roll like a river, righteousness like a never-ending stream. And it's this concept where right before that, God says, get away with me, you know, get away from me with your festivals and your empty songs and, you know, all the religious things that you do with your hands. He's not saying those things aren't important. He's saying those things don't have value if they're not undergirded with a sense of loving the world, loving people, bringing righteousness and justice, thus his nature into our community. So, that's got to be the foundational point of everything.
How about you guys talk about this for a second, Rob, because you've been a sports journalist for many years now. How have you seen, you know, guys are phony behind the camera, right?
I've seen it all. I see it all the time. And you know, it turns me off. And you know who the guys are who just want to be in a spotlight for a minute or 2 minutes or whatever it is. And you can tell. And I can go back to the 2008 Phillies, and I'm not going to name names, but there
no,
are
don't do that. That was a good team.
Yeah,
that
I
was
would,
a good
I would
don't,
never.
Don't,
do,
don't,
but,
don't,
but,
don't rob my childhood.
But there are.
They weren't robbed.
By
talk
the way,
about
that wasn't
team.
My childhood, but that was a good. Yeah.
It's okay.
But there are guys. You know, there are guys who only want to do. They want to come across as that fun loving guy who's always having a great time and is a great relationship with people.
We love the fans.
Yeah.
I love the fans.
But then, yeah, and then, but then you really know. But you know the stories,
yes,
right? You
yeah,
know
yeah,
what
yeah.
they're
yeah,
really
absolutely.
Doing behind closed doors. And for a long time, that stuff used to bother me. It used to bother me. And then, as I developed in my relationship with Christ, as I developed in my walk, because there was a point in my life where I would look and go, I'd be like, why are certain people blessed so much when I know their heart, right? And why are some people not blessed that much and they have genuine intentions? And I finally, yeah, there's, and I wasn't prepared for this, so I don't have the verse in the Bible, but you
the
might
rain,
know it, but
the
there's a verse.
The rain falls on the just and the unjust, my
yeah.
brother.
No, just,
the rain falls on the just
leave it to God,
unjust,
man.
My brother.
Leave it to God.
So this is where I'm going with this. So the cool thing is Rob can write a story about the guys being phony.
Right.
Right. And I think there's been probably some ex-Eagles that potentially
even
the Philadelphia fans
yeah.
know maybe have been
oh,
a little phony
yeah.
with
oh,
them.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know,
yeah.
maybe say
yeah.
they
the fans
they,
do know.
That's what they're smart
I'll tell you what, too. And this even now though will irritate me is the guys who will use their faith in a phony way.
Yeah.
Okay. The guys who will make a mistake or do something and then and only then will they drop God. Oh yeah, but only God can judge me. I'm getting in my Bible. I'm reading about Jesus and. Like, don't drop God only when you're in trouble.
Yeah, but this is what I'm
sometimes
say.
Those are all Christians, though, Rob. So, yeah. But you know, so.
I'm going to switch gears.
You're a pastor, right? Yeah, so Rob can write a story about him and be like, "Dude, you are phony." You know, and everybody in Philadelphia is calling him. Yeah, we have talk shows on that, right? What do you do with people that you find? It becomes more serious as a pastor, but what do you do with people that you look at that are there on a weekly basis? From a practical standpoint, like, you're a leader of a church, you're a pastor. What do you do when you find somebody that's just phony all the time there?
Well, I think I would say two things. I would say first to the first part of that, I would say, you know, Rob, this is what I know. I'm really glad that there's not a camera that's followed me around every moment of my life. I do understand. And I'm totally with you. I do think, you know, like I said, character is what we do when no one's looking. When my love never changes for people, but the access I allow them to have to my life does. And so when someone, Jesus said, you'll know a tree by the fruit that it bears. So this isn't about judging someone's salvation or their relationship with God. But when someone says, I'll be there, and they never are, if someone says yes, and it's always no, that changes the relationship, the access that they have to my life. It doesn't change the love. You know, Danielle and I talk very, very often about loving people tightly, but holding them loosely. They're not ours. And so my job is simply to love on people, encourage them towards God. At times, if they're in leadership or they want to be pastored, then you have to bring discipline, which pastoring is parenting. Yeah. We don't, you know, we have to parent our children. They don't always like what we're doing. Adults who are in church don't always like how pastors have to do, but it's out of a love, for their future, out of love for their relationship with God. So, you know, that's what I would say to that, Doug. I mean, I can't make somebody, it's not my job to make somebody fall in love with Jesus, make someone obey the word of God, make someone make sure that they have integrity. My job is to actually, you know, we have a saying at Connect, people always tell you who they are, and they just will. People always tell you who they are. So you can see them as a leader. You can see them as something more, which I hope you do. But at the end of the day, people always tell you who they are.
So. That's a great point, what you're saying there. And when we come back, we're going to hear from Jason Tatum, who was a young kid, 19 years old. I had a nice little conversation with him. It was short. It was brief. He was at shoot around. He had to get on the court and he wanted to answer all my questions. So we'll hear that when we come back. You're listening to Faith on the Field show presented by Eastern University on 610 Sports ESPN Radio.
If you shake hands with difference makers around the world, you'll meet alumni from Eastern University in every profession. Our courageous graduates are CEOs, mayors, social entrepreneurs, and Pennsylvania Teacher of the Year finalists. What makes the difference? Eastern alums have been shaped by a powerful combination of academic excellence, Christian values, and professors who truly care. Join our influential community online in Center City or on the main line. Visit eastern.edu/courage.
Hi, I'm Rob Motti. Every day you listen to the news, but how is that news affecting your financial world? Will an upswing in Asia affect your retirement investments? Will a drought halfway around the world dry up your income? You might not feel the immediate effects of every world event, but you do need to keep a close eye on your finances in these times of change. Rick Santella can help you do that.
Thanks, Rob. Hi, I'm Rick Santella, a financial advisor with Morgan Stanley. I'm right here in the Philadelphia region, and I have more than 35 years of experience and the resources to help you keep moving forward. Asset allocation, retirement planning, wealth management, these are all areas I can help you stay on top of.
To make an appointment with Rick, call 215-854-6018. That's 215-854-6018. Meeting with Rick Santella could be the most important event of your day.
Asset allocation does not guarantee a profit or protect against a loss. Investments and services offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, LLC, member SIPC.
MedCorp's Asthma and Pulmonary Specialists is a privately owned group located in Turnersville and Lynnwood, New Jersey. Online, they are MedCorpUSA.com. Dr. Sylvie and his staff can diagnose and treat disorders of the lungs, asthma, especially asthma caused by allergies, COPD, chronic bronchitis, pneumonia, pulmonary hypertension, shortness of breath, and chronic cough. They also treat sleep problems like restless leg syndrome and sleep apnea. Treating sleep apnea has become a huge part of their practice. They have 10 home sleep tests that test for sleep apnea. Testing is recommended if some of the following pertain to you. Someone has told you that you stop breathing while you sleep. You snore loudly and frequently. You wake up choking or gasping. You wake up with headaches, sore throat, or dry mouth. You experience insomnia, unrefreshing sleep, daytime sleepiness or fatigue, difficulty concentrating, memory loss, irritability. You are drowsy while you are driving. You are frequently waking up to use the bathroom. You have a large neck size, 17 inches for men and 16 inches for women. You have a family history of sleep apnea. Call MedCorp's asthma and pulmonary specialists at 856-352-6572. That's for their Turnersville office, and 609-788-8953 for their Linwood office.
And welcome back to Faith on the Field show presented by Eastern University on 610 Sports ESPN Radio. I'm Rob Motti with Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner. And the Boston Celtics in the NBA draft in June selected Duke forward Jason Tatum with the number 2 pick in the draft. And I had an opportunity to chat with Jason last week. And here is Jason Tatum, brought to you by Rick Santella of Morgan Stanley. Jason, can you tell me what it means to you when you say, "In Jesus' name I play"?
That's something that, you know, has stuck with me for a long time. I even got it tattooed on my wrist. You know, from a young age, my grandmother was the first one to, you know, always, you know, remind me that, you know, how blessed I am to be in this position, and you know, the talents that I have, and, you know, just everything that you do, you know, do it, you know, for Jesus. Because, you know, just to realize how blessed you are, to, you know, the support I had as a kid for my family, and, you know, just the opportunities I had through basketball because, you know, from the man above. So you know, that's something I'll always keep with me.
A lot of people have a moment in their life where they come to Christ. It sounds like you grew up in the church. Was there a moment for you where you made the decision to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Do you recall that, or was it just a gradual process for you?
It was more of a gradual process. Like I said, I grew up in the church. So I was really young. I think I was like maybe like five or six when I made the decision. But it was more of a gradual process, you know, for me.
How much does your faith help you, especially now as you transition from college to the NBA and the spotlight is on you and everybody wants a little bit of your time, and as we just saw here, all the media surrounding you. How much does your faith help keep you grounded?
It helps me a lot. You know, that'd be an understatement. You know, just to, you know, not get, you know, I never, you know, my grandma always told me, like, you know, I always remember, you know, where you came from, and, you know, to whom much is given, much is required. And, you know, that's always stuck with me. And she told me just never, you know, be arrogant, always be humble, no matter, you know, how far, you know, this game of basketball takes me.
Do you have any mentors on the team that may help you, whether it's Bible study or just hold you accountable, that kind of thing?
One player, another rookie, Semi Ojeleye, he helps me out with that a lot.
Appreciate your time, Jason. Thank you.
No problem.
And that is the Celtics. Jason Tatum, the interview brought to you by Rick Santella of Morgan Stanley. I told you it was going to be short. He's at shoot around, and you hear all the basketballs being
so
dribbled.
Cool.
They're getting ready. You know, they're lacing up, and they got their sneakers on, and he's like the last one, and he had just spoken to Boston media travels well. You know, a lot of media doesn't. They had maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 beat writers there.
Wow.
At shoot around, and I'm there on a Friday morning. I went down there to get Kyrie Irving, but it was a different story with that. And it wasn't Kyrie's fault, actually. But so I had, you know, get a chance to talk to Jason. And what I noticed was the first question why I asked him, "What does it mean for you to play in Jesus' name?" And he has it tattooed on his wrist, and it says, "In Jesus' name I play." And it says it on his Twitter profile. And he talks about the influence of his grandmother, and how he was raised in the church. And then he talks about a little bit about to whom much is given, much is required, and to stay humble and not get arrogant. And it's really refreshing to hear a kid who he goes to Duke. He's picked number two in the draft. He joins a team where, yeah, I guess he wasn't expected to play that much in the beginning. And then Gordon Hayward goes down, and now he's got to step in, and the spotlight's on him. But when you're 19 and you already know, stay humble, don't get too arrogant, I think your future is going to be pretty good, you know, because it's only going to go up for him from here. The spotlight's only going to get bigger. People are going to want more of his time. He's going to play more. Maybe he develops into an all-star. Maybe he becomes one of the best players. But he's already grounded, and it comes from his faith, and that's what's so important.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the Word of God says, humble yourself before the Lord and he will exalt you. It's not be exalted and then act humble. But I love the fact, if you know his background a little bit, his mom actually had him at the same age he is now.
Yeah.
And then still put herself through college and law school, and often taking him with her to class. And, I'm sure it taught, you know, there's this persistence, constant perseverance, regardless of the circumstance around them.
Kyle, talk a little bit about how you counsel players, because you have a close connection with a lot of the Eagles players, and they're having a lot of success now.
Yeah.
So how do you counsel? What advice do you give to players, especially as they're dealing with the success now, even in the past when they weren't really known, but now they're being successful? What do you tell them? How should they act?
I think it all gets back to a proper perspective of yourself. And not seeing yourself too high and not seeing yourself too low, but actually seeing yourself through the eyes of who the Father is. And as long as we always keep proper perspective of ourselves, I love Paul. Paul says, look, I am the worst of all sinners, right? I mean, he just comes right out. But then on the other hand, he can say, follow me as I follow the example, follow my example as I follow Christ. There's this great tension of understanding the brokenness of who you actually are. And the amazing grace that has elevated you into who you can be in Jesus. And if you keep that tension well in front of you on a regular basis, I actually think that helps. And that's a lot of the guys. They're just so real all the time. They know who they are. They know who they're not. And, that helps them keep that.
And we talk a lot about being a Christian, being outspoken in your faith, taking a step forward. It's never going to make you immune to one criticism, but also it doesn't always make your life great. And now, look at some of the injuries. Look at just the Eagles, for example. Look at the injuries. Jordan Hicks now goes down for the season with a ruptured Achilles. Chris Maragos, another brother in Christ, goes down for the season.
Yeah.
Darren Sproles went down for the season. Jason Peters, down for the season.
Wow.
These guys... they're watching their teammates now have success. They're watching their teammates do something that can be very special. But they also have to look at it from the outside. And I see Chris Maragos last night, and I see him on the sideline, and he's wearing his jersey.
Yep.
And he couldn't be more happy for the success that they're having
Absolutely.
Without him. But there are a lot of players that I've come across, whether it's in the NFL or any other sport, where if they're injured, they don't even want to be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or they don't care if their team's having success, or they want the team not to have success because it means they're that much more valuable and therefore deserve more money.
Well, look at the juxtaposition, I think, right now between the Steelers with Martavis Bryant and saying, I'm not getting – they're winning.
Yeah.
I mean, they are dominating right now.
Yeah.
And him saying, hey, I want to be traded because I'm not getting enough targets. I'm not getting enough balls thrown my way. Compared
came out
to
and said it again.
Yeah, compared to actually what you see with these guys saying, you know, they rally around JP last night. They rallied around Hicksy. They're rallying around Maragos. It's a very different, I think, approach to life.
Yeah, and I think that's where you look back and you go, well, these guys, they turn back and they go back to their faith, and that's where a lot of that, they're centered on that, and that's what it comes down to. You guys had a big weekend. Doug, you had your eighth Goliathon.
Yeah.
Pastor Kyle, you guys celebrated Connect Church, Cherry Hill, Randolph, Philly, 19th birthday.
Ooh.
You've been around for 19
Crazy.
Years. I want you to tell us a little bit about what goes into the preparation for Goliathon and to be able to pull off eight of them.
a lot of hard work, lot of commitment, even when you don't feel like it. And I think that's probably where we're at now. A lot of our team members get really exhausted.
Absolutely.
And we all have full-time jobs.
You guys meet weekly, right?
We meet every Thursday night, yeah, about 2 hours. Kind of discuss our ideas for the future, just basic planning. And there's a team of about 12 of us at this point, all volunteers. Good friends, we're trying to bring in more people that want to have that commitment. But some people want to help out, but they say, I mean, I can't really commit every night, or I can't commit to every Saturday to help out, which we can't all the time either. But it takes a lot of planning. I mean, you know, God's always also provided for us a lot of opportunities, a lot of just sponsorships, other people coming along, taking some of the burden off when we really feel like we can't go too much longer. And also just the encouragement of our teammates to say, hey, you know what? We need to keep going. We need to focus in.
Absolutely.
Some people may struggle a little bit, health reasons. I mean, listen, you know, we've been doing this. This is our eighth Goliathon. That's over 4 years. We've started planning 2 years before that. That's been the last 6 years.
Wow.
It took you 2 years to launch the first one?
Well, just to come up with the idea, you know, and I was telling Kyle beforehand, you know, when my friend Paul Stone really kind of came up with the idea, and he kind of pitched it to us in our church, people were like, you guys are crazy. You know, because we really wanted to do something where we could help people. We didn't really know what, but we said we want to help people. We wanted to do something. That's really what it came down to. It's kind of funny. We had that idea 6 years ago. But to Paul's credit and to the rest of our team members, it's a matter of you can have an idea, but if you really don't put it into action, it's just an idea.
Yeah,
and God can't do too much with just ideas. He wants
You started with what you loved. You know, you guys were doing Tough Mudders, right? You were enjoying that together. And
we don't talk about other.
Well, whatever. Those other events. But you started with kind of what you already loved, and then gathered like-minded people. Like that's the power of unity. When we get together, we just have to find like-minded people in our community.
Correct. So really our mission, I tell people, our mission is twofold. One, to create one of the best obstacle course events that we possibly can have, and the other is to help people in need around the world. And that's really our passion. We want to create awesome obstacles that kids can be on, parents can be on, ninja warriors can be on. Mm-hmm. We had a bunch of ninja warriors that came and competed on there.
Where did it go, the clean water this time? I know you've helped.
It went to a well
countries.
Project in Ethiopia.
In Ethiopia.
So we've had Cambodia, Malawi, Bangladesh. You know, and so the coolest thing is, you see American Ninja Warriors come and you see kids that are in all of these guys that are on TV shows, and they're phenomenal people, right? Just athletes, obstacle course racing people. But when you get a letter back that shows the well projects and kids parents and women and men that are drinking this water, knowing that, hey man, we put work in building obstacles and it's fun. It is. It's a lot of work, but it's fun. But when you're really able to make that effort, you know, it brings me to tears every time I see that. So to date, with really no investing and not counting this last event that we had, we've donated $150,000.
Wow.
To clean water projects.
Fantastic.
And,
that's awesome.
And basically the number that we're looking at is about 8,000 people that have clean water now as a result of our projects. And you know, when I said we've been doing this for 6 years, you know, during that time, we had Luke passed away.
Right.
You know, my team was there. So life happens and jobs happen and people change jobs and people do things. But you just kind of persevere and you kind of say, okay, I might take a little break, but I come back to it. You know, you don't have to be, I think we were talking about this earlier. You don't have to be perfect all the time.
Absolutely.
You know, and people can pick you up. And if you're transparent about it, your friends can come along and help you.
But what do you think, you know, you were saying earlier, Doug, you know, that you gathered people together, and when it was pitched earlier, that a lot of people kind of maybe had a different view of it.
What do you think
keeps people from activating into those opportunities?
I think, one, they don't share the same passion. I think that's a piece of it. I think that people have fear, even participating, right? Yeah. So let's just, you know, I asked you guys to participate, but, you know, that's another. You know,
I did. I participated one time.
You did.
You told me sit this one out. My elbows.
That's true. That's
destroyed.
True. But, you know, people have fear. Mm-hmm. People have other obligations that they feel like they can't give up. And I think sometimes there's a trust. If God's really calling you to do something, will he still provide for me if I take this leap of faith? So, which is actually one of our obstacles, is called Leap of Faith. But
that's very cool.
But I think people have fear. People have fear that they're going to fail. People have fear of their own inadequacies. People have a fear of, how am I going to fit in? People have a fear of, I'm just not going to be as good as other people are at this. I don't really have the talent. What talent do I have that I could offer to people? But we really have a place, you know, and I think it kind of goes with Connect Church. We can connect you somehow, right?
Absolutely.
You can get in here and we'll find a place. We'll find a job for you to do.
Absolutely.
It may not be the most popular one. It may be behind the scenes, but I think that's why people don't necessarily step up. But it has been really cool to see people come along over the years and plug in.
You said something that I want to touch on. You said people are afraid of their inadequacies. And God doesn't look for perfect people to do his work.
Never.
He looks for available people.
Absolutely.
So you just have to be available. Yeah. If you just say, here, God, here I am.
Yeah.
Here I am. Use me however way you wish. But here I am. I'm available. Me in all of my imperfections.
Yes.
He'll take all those imperfections and he'll create a masterpiece out of it. But you just have to be available and be willing to give of your time, to give of whatever it is that you have been given, whether you have that knowledge, whether you have that wisdom, whether you have that gift. Maybe you could be part of the, you don't have to be there every day or every week or meet for 2 hours, but maybe you can help build something, or maybe you have the idea to help build something, or maybe you know somebody who could donate something. Yep. There's always something that you can do if you're just available.
And you know, the majority of the people that we work with are, we all go to the same church. So we kind of share the same mission. We share the same love of God and want to help people. But we decided when we were really forming this, we didn't want to be overtly Christian. Right? So you're in a world where, you know, the biggest deal after an obstacle course race is the after party, the
yes.
beers,
right,
the,
right.
you know, the music and right. everything. And we kind of said, you know what? We want to have a competitive along those same lines to where we're recognized nationally. We are able to attract the elites and everybody else. But we want to have something a little different. And so our goal really is that people would see a difference in what we do based on how we conduct ourselves, by our mission. But not necessarily preach it to people, but let it see it through. Let them see it through our actions.
Isn't that what Matthew 5:16 says? You know, let your light so shine that people see your good works. They'll see who you are, who God is, and be drawn to him. And I, you know, Rob, just to kind of echo what you said, you know, look, Noah was a drunk. Abraham was an idolater. You know, David was a murderer. You know, Moses was a stutterer. You start going down, you know, Peter denies him.
Yeah.
There's just all these kind of things. And I think there's this amazing moment in the life of one of those people named Peter after he denied Jesus. And Jesus, even after the resurrection, appeared to him. He had this encounter with the resurrected Jesus, but still there was this guilt. There was this fear of inadequacy. There was this sense maybe of rejection, of failure, that he had failed Jesus. And in John 21, Jesus brings him back to this charcoal fire and asks him these three questions. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And he basically says, look, if you love me, take care of people. If you love me, actually change lives. And what's so significant about that moment, I think, is that that word for fire is the word pyros, where we get the word pyrotechnics from. And it only happens two places in the New Testament, there and around the fire that Peter denies him. And Jesus actually takes Peter back to this place of his biggest failure and doesn't talk about his failure. He talks about his future. And I just want to encourage us, a lot of times when we have those opportunities to love people, so often we go back to our failure, and yet God never takes us back to our failure. He gives us another opportunity to step into our future, and it's just love people, love people, love people.
Yeah, that's a great point you make, Pastor Kyle. And I want to give this analogy. There's a reason why our rear view mirror is small and our windshield is gigantic.
That's
right?
Exactly right, bro. Huh? It's good.
Because you got to look. When you're looking back, it's got to stay small.
Yeah.
You better keep your eyes focused
right.
on what's ahead of you. When we come back, we are going to talk a little bit to Bree about how she's doing something, because we're all doing something. She's here. She's doing something. You are listening to Faith on the Field show presented by Eastern University 610 Sports, ESPN Radio.
Dan Higgins Wood Flooring is the number one retailer of wood flooring in South Jersey. They have the best and most popular brands, including Bruce, Armstrong, Mirage, Johnson, Mercier, and more. Dan Higgins Wood Flooring has better pricing and service for flooring than the big box stores. Plus, you would be supporting a local business in the community since 1985. Dan Higgins Wood Flooring provides support for your do-it-yourself project, including expert advice and free equipment rental. Contractors can bring their customers to Dan Higgins Wood Flooring showrooms in Medford and Sicklerville. Special discounts are available for contractors and builders. They offer free local job site delivery, and installation services are also available. Check out their website at danhiggins.com or call Dan Higgins Wood Flooring at 609-953-7766.
Fall's around the corner, and what a fantastic time with football after church on Sundays and the incredible spectrum of leaves showing off a vibrant display of colors. It's also a perfect time of year to be aware of what your trees are telling you. Did you know that trees can talk to you? Example, if a tree is showing poor growth, it is making you aware that it has impacted soils or it could be suffering from improper planting techniques. Tree Awareness in Swedesboro, New Jersey has a 5-point health and wellness check that can accurately diagnose exactly what your tree is telling you. In this case, it would remedy the situation with root mulching, root invigoration, root pruning, or perhaps even root crown excavation. There's only one way to know for sure what your tree is making you aware of. Call the Tree Awareness Experts at 888-429-TREE. That's 888-429-8733 and check them out at treeawareness.com for the life of your trees.
Guys hate to admit it, but sometimes things can start to feel a little out of control. We procrastinate, we battle with anger, and we start to worry about our finances. But we're here to help. At Biblical Strategies, we've spent over 20 years helping people begin to think about life with the help that God offers. Contact us for resources that can begin to help you today. Go to biblicalstrategies.com. Biblicalstrategies.com.
Welcome back to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Eastern University, 610 Sports, ESPN Radio. I'm Rob Motti with Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner. We are in week 28 of Faith on the Field Show, and if you've missed any of our previous episodes, if you missed the one with Carson Wentz, I believe that was episode 22, or Clayton Kershaw, or Mike Schmidt, or Adam Wainwright.
Clayton Kershaw's pitching tonight in the World Series.
Game one of the World Series. He's probably going to go 1-4-7 if it goes seven games. Coach Dabo Swinney, Deshaun Watson, who is no doubt going to be the NFL Rookie of the Year. You know who hands out those awards, right, Dougie? Associated Press. Pastor Levi.
Well done with the plug, Rob.
Levi, those go there as well. So if you missed any of them, you can catch up on iTunes. You can subscribe to Faith on a Field Show. You could download and listen at your convenience. And Pastor Kyle, I mentioned that it was the 19th birthday for Connect Church. How did that celebration go for you guys this weekend?
You know, it was, to be honest, it was fantastic. And, you know, just a huge shout out to all of our, everybody who volunteers on teams. And, you know, great churches aren't built on the talents of a few. They're built on the sacrifices of the many. And we have so many who's just sacrificed at every campus. And so it was amazing. Incredible.
Yeah.
It was great.
I apologize for missing it. I wanted to be there.
Come on, man. You were at my brother's church up there. Come on.
Yeah, there's a lot of love going back and forth between you two guys. It's true. And it was great to sit down and talk to Carl. And he's like, yeah, man. You know, my favorite story, as talking to Carl Lance afterwards, and I tell him, you know, he obviously knows about the relationship we have, Kyle. He's like, you know, a lot of guys, they say what they did. And Carl played at NC State for a season and a half.
That's right.
He scored 8 points in 11 games. So I gave him a little shot for like scoring in garbage time. That's all, you know. But he's like, you know,
which is 8 more points than I scored, by the way, at NC State.
In the ACC, right? Yeah. So he says a lot of guys, they tell you about how good they were and how good they were. And we all know Kyle was a quarterback at Tennessee before Peyton Manning. He was a quarterback there. So he's like, so Kyle's telling you he could throw, and he goes, I go out there and Kyle throws me a pass, and he's like, it almost took my head off. So we have a Faith on the Field Show football team, right? Flag football team. I'm the quarterback, but you're the only guy I'd give that job. But yeah,
bro,
you were at Tennessee.
You can keep it,
man.
I got like 2 throws left. And what Carl didn't tell you is that we were actually on the beach at France when we did that.
Is that right?
It was tough. Someone had to be there in France. Yeah, on the beach.
That's nice, man. That's pretty cool. So joining us now, and we're going to talk to someone who has volunteered her time to help us. Volunteered her time to do so much, and our theme tonight is Do Something, and we want to talk about doing something. Bree Grignano, right?
Ooh,
Grignano?
Oh, you got it.
There we go.
Welcome, Bree.
You know, you got to say it the real Italian way, Grignano.
Yes.
Bree works for Powertrain. You also spend time with the Eagles. They're on game days, and last night was a Monday night game, and you probably get out of there about 3 a.m. or something like that. And you also live 2 hours away from where our studio is, so you took You took the day off of work. You used a vacation day. You spent your own money to stay at a hotel just to be here, to be here in the studio for one of the shows. And this is your second time here. And when we first talked about the show, and yeah, you just love the show. You love the mission. You love the passion that you want to be involved in any way you can, and you want to help. So tell us a little bit about why you're doing that before we talk about all the mission trips that you've been on.
It's funny. A couple of months ago, I was talking to my dad about how I can marry my passion of sports with helping others, my other passions. So I was on LinkedIn and I saw a post, your Eastern University event with Faith on the Field. That was the first time that I heard of Faith on the Field. So I think I liked the picture and you reached out to me about what it was that you guys were doing. And we had an awesome conversation about what your vision is and what your mission is. And after I talked to you, I knew I wanted to be involved. So, yeah.
Well, we appreciate you doing that because she takes a lot of time out of her schedule to make calls for us, to reach out to different places, different things that we want to set up, and whether it's a project here or a project there, and there's another project that we're working on now. So it's really great to have you be part of the Faith on the Field show team. But before here, and you have other things that you're doing as well, you've been on mission trips. You've spent 3-4 months out of your life in different parts of the world. Tell us about that.
When I was in college, I took a break. I lived in the Dominican Republic for 3 months. Wow. And I worked with a ministry called Time Ministries. We partner with pastors in the Dominican that can't afford to have a place of worship for their congregation. So that summer I helped build 6 churches wow. with 6 different pastors wow. all over the Dominican. We lived in a little village, no cell phones, nothing, no comforts that we're used to having. And it was really incredible. It was very, very rewarding. We met so many people, and it just, I knew at that point that I was here to help people. And it's, you know, it's hard. We're self-centered people by nature. And, you know, coming back to the U.S. after that trip, I really challenged myself to be more focused on people and just serve, just like Jesus came here to do. So, yeah, it was incredible.
Talk about doing something, huh?
Yeah, right.
Doing
well, we appreciate you, Bree. Yeah. Absolutely.
She has stepped out in the past, stepping out now, and you were telling me about you're now going to be part of helping out at a hospice, which has got to be a difficult thing to do.
yes.
And I give you so much credit because I it's hard for me to be around, you know, people that I know are on their way out of this world.
Yeah.
Tell me about that a little bit.
I figured that I want to be a light into other people's lives. And I figured maybe there's somebody that I can impact, you know, that doesn't have a family anymore, that doesn't have people that are loving on them. Wow. So I can maybe be that person the last moments or the last couple of weeks, last couple of months of their life, and just create that positive, you know, impact. So it will be interesting. I've never done it before, but I had a meeting last week with the volunteer coordinator, and I get set up in 2 weeks, and hopefully everything goes smoothly. But I'm excited. I hope that I'm able to help, you know, just bring some sort of life, some sort of light into these people's lives in their last, you know, couple of their last chapter on earth. So maybe Jesus can show himself through me.
That's awesome. Just that God placed that on your heart.
That is an incredible thing. Bree, we really appreciate everything that you do for us, everything
Thank
that
you.
You've done Absolutely. For taking your time out. That is Bree Grignano, who is part of our Faith on the Field show team. Guys, we are running out of time, and I want to thank Eastern University, Tree Awareness, Rick Santella from Morgan Stanley, all of our awesome sponsors, Dan Higgins, Wood Flooring, Dr. Sylvie and MedCore Asthma and Pulmonary Specialist. Catalyst Outdoor, if you've seen any of our, how many billboards is it, Doug?
8.
8 billboards. I want to thank Catalyst Outdoor for all of those. Pastor Scott Foreman for doing everything he does for us on our technology department. our wives, Remy, Chris, and Danielle, you are the real MVPs. So thank you, producer Ryan Lennox. Thank you for all your work back there, Ryan. Next week, we will be back on Monday night at our regular time, 7 to 8. So for Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner, I am Rob Motti reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.